back to another edition of Rent Money Burning Edges. We're back, coming off a little hiatus here. We're going to talk a little golf. Caps has been diving deep into the weeds, looking at all the statistics. He's going to be bringing the muscle today as we preview the Players' Championship. Maybe talk a little bit about Bay Hill. And then just kind of, you know, catching up. Just two friends chopping it up, chopping shop. Before we get to all of that, you know, the intro might be sounding a little bit different today. We're going to try and monetize this a little bit more, supersede in some commercials, and with that, we can't just keep copying Future's music and throwing it in there. So, intro might be a little bit different, but the ads remain the same. Adam, why don't you tell them about HidSips?
Folks, I don't know if you heard, but there's a nifty little product out there for all of the misfits, you know, the ne'er-do-wells, the hungover, right? It's called a Hydra lamp. Not sure if you've heard of this, but you actually just put it right there on your bedside. You can turn it on whenever you want to read a book, whenever you want some light. That's the main purpose of a bedside lamp. But
you need to see your own dick.
Guess, yeah, exactly. Just check she's still there. But hey, guess what else? You know, that water cup is empty. Mm-hmm. Just put it right underneath that that beam of light coming out of your Hydra lamp. Press the button on the back, fill it right up. Maybe you don't really like water. You know, maybe you're more of a Hawaiian punch guy. Maybe you watched Mr. Deeds recently and you're like, man, I wish I had one of those drinking fountains filled with Hawaiian punch. Well, guess what? You can fill that sucker up with Hawaiian punch if you want. You can be your own little Mr. Deeds. Treat yourself. Have some fun, but make sure you're staying hydrated, folks. And as always, you know, with appreciation and love in our hearts to the good folks over at HidSips, they're actually doing some filming right now. A little bit of a spoiler. You'll be able to catch them at a startup TV show highlighting their journey, chronicling their adventures. Not sure if that was public knowledge for me to share. We might have to edit that out, but they're doing good things over there. Shout out to HidSips.
Fuck yeah, dude. HidSips. They'll keep you so hydrated you're going to start wearing diapers to bed. That's how hydrated you're going to be.
And hey, if you're listening to this, we got a code for you. Get 10% off. Use code GOHAWKS, capital G, capital H. GOHAWKS for 10% off your order.
All right, let's do it. Clap it up. Clap it up for yourself. Clap it up for Scotty the Chef, Sheffles. He's now won Bay Hill, Arnie's Place, two of the last 3 years. The putter got hot. And now we're moving into the Players Championship, and he's looking to go back-to-back in multiple ways. He's looking to go back-to-back, not only at the Players, but from Bay Hill to the Players. Adam, right off the bat, just going to dive into it. Do you think Sheffles has the gas for a Doble Bay back-to-back?
I mean, he's certainly... could. He certainly will. I think all of these guys are obviously turning it up a little bit, not only for the Players, but you have the Masters and the major swing about to kind of take place here going into the summer. Shit's about to get really, really real. I feel like we saw a very strange start to the season with a couple of the previous winners. I'm not really entirely sure who the fuck some of these guys even are, but I can tell you for sure that the emergence of Liv has, I would say, only made the PGA Tour more competitive for all of those, the Jake Knapps of the world, right? Mm-hmm. All of these guys that, you know, were kind of on the fence. Maybe they're more Korn Ferry Tour type guys, but you know, on any given week, any given Sunday, maybe they're going to go out and fire off a 63 and bring some hardware home. And I think the current state of golf, the current state of the PGA Tour is obviously pushing more for, we got to get our stars as much publicity, as much shine as we can. So you have, you know, kind of the, you know, the specialized events that are actually highlighting smaller fields, minimized cut lines, et cetera. And the Players is, I believe it's the largest purse of any tournament on the tour. I mean, that's no small chunk of change, Jack. I'll tell you that right now.
Everybody in the top five is going to be making over a mil, which is pretty incredible. Yeah, we'll dive into the players, and we'll talk a lot about kind of what Adam's seen in terms of maybe some picks, some matchups. I do want to highlight Scheffler's weekend a little bit more, because he looked at the leaderboard at Arnold Palmer, and that's a difficult course. And it's kind of a who's who up there at the top of the board for the first time this season. The buzz was really there, I felt like, and people were excited. He was positive on the putting green for 3 straight days. Hadn't done that in over a year. And the craziest part is this guy's been almost dead last, damn near, putting this year compared to the field while being the best ball striker, which is similar to the back half of last year on tour. He was the best putter on Sunday, and you could tell he won by 5 strokes over Wyndham Clark. And if he's going to be the best putter in the field, this guy's going to be winning a lot of tournaments this year. As a Scheffler fan, it was good to see him kind of shake the monkey off his back. It almost been not quite a year, but almost a year since his last dub, and we all know he's been playing well enough in these tournaments to do it because he's in the top 5, top 10 basically every single week.
Yep.
So was fired up to see that. It was good. I wish there was a little bit more drama down the stretch, but the way he's just striking the ball to that level when he can just pull away from the field is also pretty entertaining golf as well. But I think we both agree we love a little bit more of a nail biter on the back half of a Sunday.
Yeah, dude, it's kind of brutal sometimes when you watch these guys run away with it. I remember looking at the leaderboard Sunday morning, and I was like, oh, part of me kind of wants to throw a little bit on Zalatoris. Maybe this is kind of where he can start to take over. He's recovering, but then you look at the board and you realize, oh, he's 5 back right now, going into that back nine on Scotty, and it really never got any better for him from there. Obviously, missing out on a few opportunities, but
They basically took Scotty off the board at the 12 after the 12th hole,
yeah.
which basically, talk about lack of drama there, but
Yeah.
it's still fun to watch a master class in a different way.
Yeah. 100%. Especially with just how freaking good of a ball striker Scotty has become over the past year. And when his putter gets hot, it's like, what? I mean, who's competing with Scotty when his putter is good?
Yeah,
I
you're not.
mean,
You're not.
you got to net him anywhere between 3 to 6 strokes, depending on the course. If he's feeling it around the greens, and he sure as shit was. I know he obviously, went back to back in order to maintain that. And obviously this is an event that he won last year too. He did this exact same thing last season. Last year he won this one by 5 shots. He actually finished at 17 under, with Tyrrell Hatton coming in at 12. And then you have Tom Hoge, Victor Hovland, Hideki, and Max Homa was kind of lingering too, around 8 under, teed 6. But a couple of the course trends that I look at going into the players, obviously it's known for that 17th, that beautiful island green. We're gonna get some good footage of whoever that amateur was in, like, it was like the 80s or the 90s. I think he had like a no he I think it took him to 17 shots to get to the green.
So not the highlight you want to see yourself
No.
shot. He probably feels a little bit like the guy from Pittsburgh. This time of year, he turns on Twitter, turns on the TV, all he sees is Kimba Walker crossing him up. He's just sitting at home catching strays. That's probably how this guy feels. He's trying to tunes into every single tournament all year except for the players. He just can't watch it.
Yeah, just tough for him. Absolutely brutal. But yeah, a couple of the things that I look at this week. It's slightly tougher scoring out here, obviously. I know last year, we had Scotty going all the way up to,
5 stroke lead again, going into the
we had him
leaves the
going to
hole.
17. And year before that, though, with Cam Smith, he won it at 13. Back in 2021, Justin Thomas took it at 14 under. And then obviously COVID year in 2020 happens.
Rory.
But yeah, Rory in 2019 had it at 16 under, so.
Let's just take a second and just look at these guys that are winning this tournament. It isn't, the players wants to be the fifth major. It's not. And it especially isn't now with some of the live factors that they're not going to, have some of their top golfers be participating. But in the sense that it rewards the best golfers and the best ball strikers and the players that can handle a hard course. That's still what the players is. Just look at
Yeah.
those names. Rory, JT, Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler. Come on.
Yeah. And I think you're going to see that here this week too. It's you got to be able to hit the ball. Playing out here, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, obviously driving distance, somewhat important, as is everything on the tour nowadays, I would say. But more important than your distance is going to be your accuracy. You're going to have a lot of tight fairways. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for you to pick up some penalty strokes out here. TPC Sawgrass is a beautiful, beautiful course. They're going to need to make sure that they're punishing players who are missing fairways yet again and making that difficult. I always am cheering for carnage out on the course. I'm a big US Open guy, Jack. So anytime I get to watch a course just decimate PGA Tour professionals,
not a little bit, make them,
I love it.
You can relate.
I want to see.
You want to be able to relate to the professional golfer.
I don't know if it's being able to relate as much as it is. I love to see how they respond when they're being tested. You know, like when you're getting bent over, like, are you going to let that ruin your round, ruin your day? Or are you going to understand that everyone's playing in the same conditions and put up or shut up? You know, like that's the type of things that I enjoy watching the most. I feel like this course, as far as similarities go, there's one that stands out. That's actually Sedgefield Country Club. I think it's fairly similar to like River Highlands as well, as far as like a course fit goes, based on some of the data that we got here for other golfers. But that's kind of the metrics that I'm looking at from a betting perspective, is who's got above average accuracy off the tee that's going to be able to actually get the biggest boost there. And then on top of that, we need to have a little bit better chipping and short game around the greens. I think your approach shots, they're pretty consistent with the rest of what the PGA Tour has. But I think there's a huge bump as well if you're able to get, you know, a few extra up and downs, maybe a chip in here or there. In comparison to most courses, I would say that it's going to be weighted probably about 5. Yeah, give or take like 5% more than an average course. But biggest one that I'm looking at going into this week is going to be for sure the driving accuracy side. So I think outside of that, I mean, obviously putting every aspect of your golf game has to be on to some extent. But there's going to be – I don't know what it is, Jack. I just think there's something is going to have to happen here on Sunday, where you gotta be aggressive, coming anywhere within 3 shots, 4 shots of the lead on that back nine. I think shit could heat up. Shit could get real, real interesting, especially with the tee location. I'm excited to see where they have the pins located on that 17th on Sunday. But I guess anything from your perspective on how the season has started? Have you been keeping up much at all?
You're down in Florida this week, obviously, and we might see some afternoon showers on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, about a 25% chance of rain, which is a pretty, I don't know, pretty standard for this time of year, March, Florida. You never know what you're going to get. So, you know, not only do you have to be on your game, sometimes you got to have some luck in these tournaments, and the conditions have to be playing to your favor at different times over the course of the weekend, where you're going to be able to, like you said, be more aggressive and take advantage of some of these pin placements. You got to love the championship Sunday pin placements from TPC Sawgrass. It's just going to be all the more difficult, and it's going to be as much about holding serve as continuing to shoot low. With that said, I mean, if you're looking at this in the mid-teens, where would you set the over-under at for the winning score this weekend and maybe the cut line, Adam? Where do you see the cut line being at and the winning score?
I don't know if I could give you an accurate cut line. I really do think that'll depend on the weather. I guess I'm going to give the cut line, I'll say +2.
Really? I like it.
Maybe we're way off. Maybe we're not. but, I mean, if you're guys that are finishing the tournament around, like, that 5-10 spot or, you know, only around six under, I don't think it's that crazy that, you know, you have your top half of the field, just keeping it around, you know, even golf, to make the cut. But, I think that's worth noting.
And to go back to your question earlier, I think the elevated events have been a success to some degree. You think about like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the Genesis Invitational, obviously last week Arnold Palmer. The Waste Management isn't necessarily an elevated event, I don't believe, but it's got, you know, some charisma to it and some spunk. Those weekends have had my attention because you look at the leaderboard and it feels fresh, it feels fun. There's sometimes a few people popping up, but for the most part, it's kind of the who's who. And then you got, you know, your Mexico Open, Cognizant Classic, some of these other events that it's a little bit tougher to get locked into. And you mentioned earlier, some no names sometimes winning those, but you got to appreciate that too, because somebody, you know, everybody's got to get their first win on tour at some point. And rarely is it going to be one of these elevated events. I know Wyndham Clark was in some hot water this week because he was saying, you know, the tour, what if it's just 100 people and basically you get relegated at the bottom 20 at the end of the season, and then the next 20, top 20 in the Corn Ferry move up. And some people are saying, hey, Wyndham, you fucking jagaloon. Like, you would never even have the opportunity to be who you are today and be a U.S. Open champion if there was this barrier of entry within the PGA Tour. But I think 100 people is a lot. I think the idea of relegation is cool until, you know, Rory has a down year. JT struggled last year. It's like, do we really want to see some of these big names get relegated to the Corn Ferry Tour? Like, what's going to prevent them from just going to live at that point? So I thought it was an interesting idea. And I don't think he necessarily deserved all the criticism that he received for being like, oh, like, don't pull the ladder up behind you, you know, once you make it to the top. Either way, I do think that what the tour is trying to do is headed in the right direction. It is just tough when you see a split between the talent, right? It's like if there was a UFL and the NFL and you split the talent down the middle, and then the UFL plays in the summertime and the NFL is, you know, has all the classic teams and the classic stadiums and the rivalries and the Super Bowl and the, you know, the football season as a whole. And they're not playing in Hong Kong last week and at absolutely ridiculous times that aren't even competing, always on Sundays. But they have Saquon Barkley and like Joe Burrow in the league. It's like, well, fuck, like, that's cool.
Yeah. I think we're due. Cause I mean, and we'll touch on this next week when we do a deeper dive into like Full Swing and do a recap and a breakdown there. But, aside from everything, you know, LIV and PGA Tour merger related, I think there's a ton of we'll probably end up making that its own episode, but I feel like a lot of people, and maybe this is just me, I'm so sick and tired of talking about it or hearing about it. Like, I just want to watch and enjoy golf. And I feel like me personally, I know for a fact that the format that I most enjoy watching, other than, you know, like the Ryder Cup or, you know, those match play events, rest in peace to the Dell match play, but being able to watch like a full field cut after 36 holes and duking it out Saturday, Sunday to be able to actually compete and finish and get a win and earn money, earn legacy, like this is kind of everything for me. And let's call it what it is.
Yeah, I'm not trying to poo-poo anything or say any differences, but it is interesting because, you know, the format has changed a little bit this year with the elevated events, and that is in direct response to what's happening there. But Adam, how's your golf game been? You know, it's prime golf season in Texas. You're probably getting out there as much as ever. How's your game looking? What's holding you back?
What's holding me back right now, I would say money. Trying to afford to play golf right now. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this. I remember the days when you could go out, find a local municipal golf course and, you know, walk nine holes for about $20-$25. Those days are long gone. The demand for the sport from, you know, an average Joe perspective has skyrocketed. A lot of that thanks to COVID, I'm very convinced. that the Biden administration actually implemented that in order to force folks to get outside and enjoy golf. Wish everybody would get a little bit more into pickleball and leave my sport alone. Because I tell you what, Jack, I remember the days it wasn't cool when you're a chubby freshman that can't really play football, and you say, I guess I'll play golf because Jason Duffner did, and look at his stature.
Yeah.
And then,
Slapping ass Jason Duffner. You got to know the guy.
yeah, you're not wearing a football jersey on Fridays, right? You're wearing the polo, which
Not
was already your uniform.
to slow your roll, Adam. I was out in Salt Lake City over the weekend. Walked 9 holes with a pull cart, $26. Right in the
So
mountain.
maybe I gotta get out of,
It's an absolute beauty.
maybe it's just Austin, Texas is the issue. Very well could be the case.
Well, here's the, I mean, think about how many more people live in Austin, Texas than 10 years ago, and how many more golf courses there are from 10 years ago.
There was a stat about Austin in particular, not to hone in on this too much, but I'm pretty sure the stat was since 2014, maybe it was 2016. 25% of all golf courses that have been built within that time frame have all been built within like the Austin area, but almost all of them, if not all of them, are private, so you can't play. You're just shit out of luck.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And I mean, when I went down and visited you, we played a course that was built, within the last 5 years, which is, I think, the first time I've ever done that. Because building golf courses isn't easy, and you're right. Demand is continuing to go higher, and the only way they seem to be built anymore is it's not the muni, right? It's being built with the idea or the mindset that we're going to build also 1,000 homes on this course,
Right.
which is how we're going to be able to make the money work, the value work. So
Yeah.
maybe the Biden administration needs to come out, and they'd have my vote if they said, "Hey, we're going to bring the parks back, and by doing so, we're going to build 150 new golf courses."
Yeah. Please. Something. Anything. I would take damn near anything.
Should we get to your picks here for this weekend and maybe some of your long shots or just what you got cooking?
Yeah, let's get interesting here. I think as far as picks go, there's a few names that are immediately jumping out. A lot of the data that I have, I'm gonna be going off of Bet365 as the sports book for the lines. If I see others that I like, though, I do track what is this, William Hill? I'll track FanDuel, I'll track DraftKings, then I have Pinnacle Sportsbook as well, are kind of the main ones that I use for golf. But the ones for me in particular that I'm actually able to use, it would be through Bet365. So that's what I go off of. Right off of the bat, I think a lot of the odds that I'm looking at, the implied percentage odds, I have a 12.4% chance that Scottie wins this tournament. That is in a That's an absurdly high number. That comes out to being about
What are his odds
it
at? Like
with
550? Is that what I was
yeah.
seeing around?
I think that he's obviously overvalued in terms of like
He
implied win percentage, but also is he like
is
is five
overvalued,
fifty?
I think, Adam, but this is what I'll say. When you're There's some people that have won tournaments at around the same clip as Scotty, right? But they're not top five, top 10 consistent. So when you get down to it, like when Sunday rolls around, his odds are gonna be in, that 550. Like, just
Yeah.
book it. Like, they're not gonna be much worse come around Sunday. He's always gonna be there. So you're gonna feel like you have a chance. You're gonna have maybe an opportunity to hedge out of that position. He's not gonna burn you. He's not gonna just shit the bed like Morikawa maybe
Right.
did last week, who people are seeing possible bounce back, right? But he's gonna be there, which helps kind of at least give some credence, because 550 to win a tournament is zero juice.
Yeah. Do you have something bouncing on your desk? Or is your desk moving a lot? I keep hearing like a pop 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 pop.
Even right now?
Not anymore. It was like while you were talking. I don't know if your desk is moving or what.
I might have just been getting
Food for
excited.
thought. Hey, I appreciate the excitement. There are a couple of things that I do want to call out. These aren't necessarily bets that I'm throwing, but these are things worth looking into. I got four that I did want to chat through a little bit, and then kind of just giving out a couple of mine as well. I don't know if we want to start tracking these or what. We can kind of do it similar to rent money, but we are rent money. What am I saying? But the college football edition, I think first one right off the board is actually it's a call in, somebody that I think y'all might be meeting here fairly soon. But a certain Mr. Sam Hutchinson wanted to call out that he has Xander Schauffele winning it all this week. At this current moment, I have Schauffele as second best odds to win out. I have him projected to be at just about 2,400. The implied odds are about 4%, which is right behind Scotty at 12.4. And you're actually just looking across the board at where you can get the best value. As of right now, it is going to be through either William Hill or Bet365. He's a little bit, I think they have him at 2,200 on those. The best you're getting outside of that is going to be at Pinnacle. You got him at just about 2,094. Otherwise, DraftKings has him at 2,000. FanDuel actually has him at 1,800. So, fade FanDuel. Not sure if we need to start talking shit with them, but let's do it. Biggest things that I'm looking at with Xander, though, the guy needs to get hot. Like, he's arguably been the best player thus far that hasn't gotten a win on the tour so far. Even going back to last year, he's reached the weekend. He's made the cut in 27 straight tournaments. And out of those, he has finished top 10 in 14 of them. A lot of that because of his approach game right now. Like we were talking about, if you want to win, you got to have pretty solid approach game. I think he gets an upper hand there if he kind of outclasses everybody else. But I think one of the biggest things we can look at here as well is just looking at last year. Every single one of the top four finishers in this tournament had, they were ranked somewhere within top five for strokes gained approach. So if that trend carries over to this season, expect that to go pretty hot. But he was top 20 here last year. He was tied for 19th. And back in 2018, he was actually a runner up. So he has had some success at TPC Sawgrass, but not enough to get a victory there. So take a look at him. The second one that I would talk through from an outright perspective is actually Hideki Matsuyama. He is currently at plus 3,000 odds over on Bet365. I'm interested with Hideki more or less because looking at his game right now, he's also kind of boasting a really strong approach game. And he's made the cut in every single tournament he's played in over the span of this season. This will be his eighth event. And he also won at Riviera, so he's got that under his belt already this year. But in the past, he's done pretty damn well at TPC Sawgrass. He was fifth last year, tied for eighth in 2019, tied for seventh in 2016. I don't think this is a bad play at all for you to throw a dart right at somebody in that 30-1 range. He should be 30-1. He's looking at plus 3,000.
That feels like if you play this tournament 30 times, Hideki's going to get at least one win.
Yeah.
And in the process, his caddy's going to do something viral that everybody just loves.
Please bow.
The major just, he's got his pack of smokes and a vape. Dude just rips.
Just let him have it. Let him have it. But then the two other plays, I'm looking at a couple top 20s here. First one being Will Zalatoris. I know I just mentioned him. It's been a bit of a brutal comeback for him. I know, like, if you look at last year, he only had 8 starts total, and he started off this year missing the cut, actually, in Hawaii. But in his last 3 starts, he's gone tie 13th, tie 2nd, tie 4th. The dude's turning it on at the right time. He's figuring his shit out. He's making something happen. The putter
obviously still not fun to watch, but it's better than when he was trying to,
It's
you
way
know,
better. It's way better.
putt like a normal guy.
Like
Yeah.
he looks more comfortable out there. He's obviously coming off the back injury, and his new putting form, he's just not quite as hunched over as well, which I'm sure just lends itself to a lot of more comfortability. When you're, you know, coming off a broken back, I can't even imagine what that's like playing golf after a broken back. And when it comes to putting, I mean, there's so many different ways to go about it. There's so many different techniques, different thought processes, different strategies. But ultimately, I think what all good putters will tell you and what they'll all say is just it's about finding comfortability and being comfortable standing over the ball. And Sally's looking a lot more comfortable right now.
Yeah. Granted, I don't think in the past he's never finished better than tied for 21st, I think. That was back in 2021. But just with the way he's playing right now, he's got more experience under his belt than he ever has. He was kind of just bursted onto the scene a few years ago with that Masters where he actually lost to Hideki. But I really think he's worth backing. I would take him actually at even top 10. I think he gets a top 10 again this week. Like we were saying, in his last three events, he's finished top five twice. So I'm feeling pretty good about Willie Z. The other guy that I do have my eye on for this tournament within the top 20 range is actually going to be Max Homa. He got a win on the DP World Tour in November. People aren't really talking about that. I don't think he's won anything on the tour itself since last January, but I mean, he's winning events elsewhere, but I think this is a different era for Homa in the sense that this is the most consistent he's been probably in his whole career. His last 11 finishes have all been top 21 or better.
Really? I had no idea.
He had a T66 and missed cut last month.
Yeah, that's huge.
But
leading up to that point,
he was just turning it on. And especially like looking at Riviera, he was tied 16th, and at Bay Hill, he was tied 8th. I think the biggest things that are putting him in a spot of consistency, his strokes gained on approach. He's done better than the field in 17 of his last 18 starts. And he actually was ranked 3rd within the field out of everybody at the Arnold Palmer. So if his putter stays hot, if he keeps gaining strokes on approach, we're going to continue to see good numbers come out of him. And I think in his last two tries that he was actually playing at TPC Sawgrass, he went tie 13th, tie 6th, ranked 12th and 8th, respectively, from tee to green in both of those starts. And so
nice.
I think he balls out here as well. It's really at this point just a matter of how much do we want to stake on that. I'd feel pretty good if I said top 10 out of Will Zalatoris, top 20 out of Homa. I don't think I'm going to play Xander just because I feel like if I'm going to be throwing money on a favorite, I'd rather just do it on Scotty at this point. One of those guys.
You're not addicted to Xan and you're not addicted to betting on him.
No, I'm not the biggest fan. The last time I threw on Xander was for him to be a first round leader at the US Open. He obviously tied that with Ricky, setting a US Open record, firing 63s off. So
he still happened the last time you bet on him. You did pretty well.
So I wouldn't mind throwing a first round leader on Xander here, but to be honest, I feel like there's better value elsewhere on the board, which kind of leads me into my next couple of picks. If you want me to kind of talk through who I see a lot of value on this week,
go through those longer shots. Even though, you know, you've given us a few. I mean, I think Hideki to win 30-1 is pretty long, but yeah, let's hear it.
I think my personal favorite of the favorites when it comes to value associated is actually going to be Colin Morikawa. Going back to him, he's currently projected to be like a 27-1 odds.
But a lot of different sites, especially FanDuel here, I'll give them a shout out for the first time. They actually have Morikawa as a 30-1. I don't know if it's because of that performance last week or what happened, but I think there's definitely some value there, especially just, you know, you're getting a couple extra attempts at it. But the long shots that I'm more so looking at this week, if we're sticking on the FanDuel train, we could get pretty weird with it, but Russell Henley is actually one guy that I don't mind for the value you're getting. I have him closer to a 36-1 odds, and you're getting 45-1 odds currently at FanDuel. So that's a nice little 23% boost there. I think the biggest boost that I'm seeing right now across any bet, any platform, as far as outright goes, as of right now, I'm getting a lot of good looks on Steve Stricker based on what this model's saying. Mostly because the dude has, you know, been around since, you know, Tiger was 3 years old, but
also he's played well here in the past. Got him at, what is this? It's a lot. I think
you could, it's like, buy a jet
it's
ski. Like,
it's plus 50,000 odds right now on FanDuel. So me, if you want to talk long shots, let's do it. Steve Stricker is definitely one. Another one you can take a look at this week. Andrew Putnam.
If you put $100 down on Steve Stricker and he won $50,000, where are you taking your money? Where are you taking your winnings?
That's actually that's a great question. I'd probably get a jet ski. Realistically, yeah, realistically, I'm getting rid of my student loan debt, yep, and kind of just chilling. Maybe going on a vacation.
Yeah, you know, you deserve it.
Yeah. Somebody does.
Probably buy a dog. Just know you got that thing covered for the next 2 years off your winnings. And then from there, you know, if I could, maybe I would just, yeah, that's probably the only thing I'd really have in my mind. Vacation's always great. Maybe buy some baseball cards that I'm interested in. Haven't bought a baseball card since maybe middle school.
Anybody got your eye on?
Just get back to that as a hobby. Maybe more on the NBA side, actually, than the baseball cards. But when I think of, like, sports cards, I just immediately head goes to baseball. But I think it's a little easier. I'm a little bit more plugged into the basketball and football scene to try and, you know, play the market a little bit. Get somebody that's up and coming. Versus baseball, it's just, I don't know, look up America's top 100 prospects and go from there.
Let them hash it out.
Yep. So, yeah, let's get to the next one. I was curious.
Yeah, I was pretty big also. I think Andrew Putnam has a ton of value as far as, like, betting value goes. Obviously, I'm not feeling super great about him winning this tournament by any means, but on Bet365, you can actually get him at 175-1. Not bad. I'll take that. I'll take that and run with it pretty much every day of the week.
How do you feel about Tom Hoge?
I am a big Tom Hoge fan. First tournament that I ever bet on Tom, he actually won.
Beach. We got the green thumb, Pebble buddy. Beach.
Yep. That's something we're talking about as well within their strokes gained moving average over the past 20 starts. Tom Hoge might have better trending upwards than anyone right now. I think his moving average has got him almost at 2 strokes gained across the field. I think some of the guys that you're looking at is, like, as far as, like, leading right now and, like, true strokes gained, it's obviously Scottie Scheffler, who's almost coming in at 3 strokes gained. And then there's a few others as well. They're kind of in that 2 range. You got Justin Thomas has been playing lights out after taking a nasty dip,
middle to end of last year. He's been able to turn it around over his past 20. He was upwards, getting damn near it, 276 for a while. He's down at 225 right now. But then Sam Burns, another one. He's kind of been a little bit up and down, but he's still maintained above the field. He's at 216. And then right after those guys is Tom Hoagie, moving in hot with a current 2 strokes gained across the field. Against the baseline, that's got him, I think, higher than anybody else. He's gained 1.47 versus the baseline, which is simply the average strokes gained over a player's own personal baseline, defined by their average performance in the past year within their last 20 rounds. So not only is Tom Hoagie playing better than majority of the field, but he's also playing better than himself, which, you know what that means, Jack? That's improvement. And yeah, I wish nothing but the best.
This is the year we're all getting better at golf, including Tom.
Including Tom. But as far as bets go, I feel like those are kind of some of my favorites. I think if you're going to throw anything else, personally, I think my long shot bet of the week is going to be I'm going to go with Andrew Putnam to make the top 20. We're going putt daddy all day.
You got to put the name, dude. You're gonna be a golfer. You're gonna be.
Yeah, nice. I mean, if you can get it on Bet365, it's 5-1 odds that he makes the top 20, which we're getting some significant value on that play right there. So I would take that and run with it. Maybe throw one on Steve too. Let's go Putnam and Steve Stricker top 20. Why not?
$10 on Steve Stricker. I mean, that's a Subway sandwich.
8.5 to 1. Please. 8.5-1.
Come back home with the $5,000.
Fuck it.
Everybody's gonna be proud of you. Thanks for walking us through those picks. I know that you've been doing the research. You've been looking into it. That's what we needed to see. We're fired up for TPC this weekend. We're excited for golf season to continue to move into just the absolute just peak time of the year. We're gonna have March Madness next week. And then following that, the Masters is going to be here before you know it. Adam, anything else you want to just get off your chest now that, you have the listener's ear? It's been a few months. I know that if I walked into a job interview and they asked me, just talk to us about some current events over the last few months that caught your eye. I don't know what the hell I'd say. It's always a little tougher. I'd say, give me a prompt. But with that said, Anything that crossed your mind these last 3 months or so that you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, ready for baseball to start. Ready for March Madness. I feel like this is kind of I think I say this probably 5 to 7 times a year, but we're in the mecca of sports right now when it comes to viewership. UFC 300 coming up. That's going to be a fun card. I don't know if you guys are into that type of shit, but if you want, we can.
You watch 299.
I did. Chito Vera,
great card,
has an unreal jaw. I don't know how you survived that knee.
He's up, dude.
Dude, Sugar is just so much faster than everyone in that division. It's going to be a while until somebody takes that.
And he really keeps it mixing it up. He's fun. He's so fun to watch. But Chito made that. Chito was making that fight equally as fun by just toughing it out for 5 championship rounds. And
yep.
I mean, he never really caught a rhythm where he was kind of piecing Sean up, but he, every once in a while, he'd let one fly and clip him here or there. And the longer the fight went, the longer there was just, there was always that chance, right? Like, think about the first time they fought a ways back. Something can always happen. So,
amen. That was good stuff. But yeah, Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. NBA, they're still playing.
Sports all around.
Caitlin Clark breaking a new record every other week, it seems like. I'm personally, I've had my sights set on Augusta pretty much since college football ended. That's my favorite sporting event ever. I can't wait. I really do think there's something about Rory McIlroy this year. I think I'm ready to get let down again, but I think if you're looking at some futures,
Killian Murphy, looking at some actor, that's the start. That's how it starts. The Irishman's year.
Yep. I think I really, really like Rory in the Masters this year, especially with all of the shit he's got off his chest now without being, you know, a guinea pig for Jay Monahan and all the fucktards that are the PGA Tour executive board. You guys are not great at your jobs. Would appreciate you guys doing a little bit more for the players and not having to watch a complete falling off of some of your superstars starting a different league with blood money, but here nor there. That's all I got. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hell, next weekend we're going to be recapping Full Swing Full Swing. I'm not fucking that up. Yeah. So go ahead, watch that if you haven't on Netflix, season 2. All access behind these golfers. You got to learn a little bit more about them. You know what? I like Full Swing a lot. I'm going to be coming with my thoughts. But let's be honest, you know, professional golfers aren't always the most exhilarating personalities. So I'll be giving my take on just kind of what I saw. And, you know, I love the behind the scenes. It's here cool to see kind of just the lives they live and like the way they approach their golf game, right? And we're both golfers here, not very good ones. So it's fascinating to see the mind space that, you know, a professional golfer has to encapsulate when you're playing with that much pressure. I know I shit my pants if I have to hit a tee shot in front of 5 randoms. So, it'll be fun. We'll recap that. We'll follow up after the Players Championship, and we'll go from there. We'll keep it running, boys.
Yeah. Girls. Apologies. This one definitely a little bit of a clusterfuck. I'll have it a little bit more organized for next week. This is us just kind of, we're getting our beaks wet, folks. We're getting into golf. I've been out of the game for about 2 months. We're back. If there's any other sports that y'all are interested in us doing some dives in similar to this, curling, the Summer Olympics are around the corner. Let us know. I'd be happy to dive into baseball, maybe some UFC. Definitely continuing with golf and as we get closer, NHL.
I'm sure there's little to zero audience for this, but I love professional track and field. Just love it. I think it's so much fun to follow.
I love watching you run.
Yeah, and I love watching you you walk, you know?
What do you got going on?
Me, dude, just
cool a hat. Whole lot of, it's a cool jacket.
A whole lot of fun. Oh yeah, this little piece. You know, it's more of a fall, a little bit more of a fall pattern. But hell, why not? It's a cozy little North Face. Gotta love North Face. What's going on with me, dude? Shit, this weekend is St. Patrick's Day in the great city of Chicago. We're gonna turn that fucker green.
Slanja.
And get it turned up, dude. I got some Irish in me, and we're going to just, enjoy ourselves. Then following that, we're going to take a trip down to NOLA and just taste all the little treats they have down there. Maybe a po' boy, some jambalaya. They got some, I don't know, some baguettes, some beignets. Hell, they got it all. So that's a little bit, just a little dive into what I got going on. So, all good and all good over here.
Yeah, quick little lesson for you, some Irish Gaelic. Cheers in Irish Gaelic is just slánja.
Slánja. Okay.
Slánja. Don't look up the spelling. It'll freak you out.
One Word McGee this weekend, that'll be the one word I remember.
Slánja. But then another one for you is the word whiskey itself comes from the Gaelic Ishkabaha, which actually translates to water of life. Thank an whiskey. Irishman, and thank St. Patrick, even though he wasn't an Irishman. He was actually, he's British, but that missionary, he got the snakes out of Ireland. Am I right?
I'm gonna forget you said that. Yep. Irish in my book.
Yeah. I mean, they're all kind of, There's a bunch of Gaelics running around out there. The Celts, what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. Come on. You're a good old Nick.
Bolfest. But I tell you guys what, Have a great, great St. Patrick's weekend.
Yeah.
Enjoy the players.
Adam.
If you get the chance, enjoy watching Jack go for a run in the Chicago area. He's at the bean every single morning.
Usually there, touching it, flicking it.
Dapping up the bean every morning. I can't believe you still do that, man.
Yeah, it's it was tough for the winter, but now we're just on the other side of it, and I just couldn't have more just appreciation for the bean on a nice spring morning. So the sun's shining on it. You wouldn't believe how many people just come up and talk to me about that. I always say they can join. Nobody ever does. So, well, Adam, it was great to hear your voice, see your face. Why don't you kick us out of here?
Folks, do us a favor. Tell your bookie, but also tell an Irishman this St. Patrick's Day weekend that we say hi.